Welcome to the Majamas Earth podcast, everybody. I'm Jermaine Caprio. I'm owner of Majamas Earth, and I will be your host. A little bit about me first. I've been creating and manufacturing a sustainable clothing collection for over 22 years now, which is kind of hard to believe. And back when I started this collection, no one had heard about sustainable fashion. And Lord knows no one even knew about climate change or thought about it. When I got into this business, I wanted to make sure that what I was doing would leave the smallest impact on the planet, all because I was raised by a mom who was a big environmentalist. It wasn't as if she was preaching about plastic every day, because that wasn't a big deal back then. But she was always teaching us about recycling, even though there wasn't really a convenient pickup for that kind of thing. And she was always talking about not wasting our water and not running water, and always talking about, you know, like cooking vegetarian and making sure that we didn't eat too much meat, probably from a health standpoint, but also because of an environmental standpoint. She was way, way ahead of her time. And so when I started into a clothing industry that is truly one of the biggest polluters of all industries, I wanted to make sure that I did it differently. And it kind of felt as if we were the only ones doing this for a really long time. And then COVID hit. And in a good way, from such a bad thing, I believe that COVID kind of woke a lot of us up. I think it's made people start realizing that we all have to start participating and doing what we can to lower our impact on the planet. And we just can't accept and adapt to climate change. We really have to do what we can to restore the earth. And that just happens to be the theme of this year's Earth Day, which happens to be today, which makes me even more excited that we are producing this podcast and starting it today, because my entire mission of this podcast is to share helpful ways that we can all lower our impact and live a little bit more sustainably. Because it's up to us to make these changes. And I believe collectively we can do that. So I'm relying on you to help me help you. And I'm relying on guests and other industry experts to help me help you. And today I am very happy to have Jane Arvis, our social media producer, join me in this discussion. Hello, Jane.
Hello, everybody. Happy Earth Day.
Yeah, that's so great. So the theme for Earth Day is restoring the Earth this year. And Jane, I wanted to talk with you about how our purchases actually are our superpowers, that, you know, where we put our money is how we can actually collectively create change. And so that's sort of the theme of today's episode. But before we get started, people know about me. Why don't you give us your backstory?
Sure. So I graduated college with a double design major, so a little bit more traditional. Mm-hmm. And I immediately jumped into working for one of my all-time favorite retailers. Started at the store level and kind of hoped to soak everything up there and climb that corporate ladder till I got to their home office and their design department. So I originally joined their team because I wanted to work for a unique company that celebrated both small artisans and kind of gave a global awareness of different cultures around the world to their customers. And I know this might sound familiar. I know you used to be a really big fan of them as well.
Big fan. I used to love to shop in that store. But go on. Do tell more.
Yeah. Everybody would fall in love with it, you know, whether it was their eclectic apparel or their home products or just their overall brand image and story, you know, everybody loved it. And I did too. And I drank the Kool-Aid. But after a couple years working there, I must admit the magic kind of started to wear off for me. And I started realizing that this company was not what they were cracked up to be.
Oh, isn't that a bummer? It's such a bummer.
I know. Very because sad.
Even through their displays and their beautiful visual merchandising that, you know, kind of sucks you into their stores, you do get that feeling that they are this kind of supporter of craftsmanship and artisans and independent designers. Mm-hmm. So when were your eyes open? What happened that kind of opened your eyes to them?
So I started hearing all of these horror stories coming from both friends who were small local designers and also customers who would come in the store and tell me that their designs had been ripped off and knocked off by this company I was working for, which is horrible and is extremely embarrassing as an employee still working there.
Yeah.
So definitely some awkward conversations and situations. And coming from a design background myself, I was so disappointed because here's a company that seems to celebrate independent designers, like you were just saying, and definitely not exploit them or create these knockoffs and selling them for, you know, double or triple the price.
Well, and as an independent designer and this, like, especially a new designer, you're going to a big retailer like them with these high hopes that they're going to bring your collection in and, you know, you're going to become, you know, profitable at some point and you're going to be able to sell all of your beautiful designs through their doors. And then they go and turn around and knock you off. That's just the biggest no-no in the clothing design world. It's really a shame.
Totally. So it kind of started there for me. And, you know, I started to see a few other little things pop up here and there that rubbed me the wrong way too. One of them, I was always asked to take off these little tags, which would say where products were made from.
What?
So this is kind of like a, you know, dirty industry secret of this store. But different home products, especially around holiday time, we would have to take off these little like made in India or made overseas tags. And I'm thinking it was because they felt like it would disrupt their brand image of, you know, making these small batches either locally or, you know, overseas by, you know, beautiful small communities.
Like small cultural
artifacts. Yeah, but it definitely was mass produced. And I'm thinking not in the best way also.
Oh, that's really, really, really deceitful because I feel like that one is illegal. And then they're also making you believe that this little object, this cute little teacup or whatever it might be that you find so beautiful is really just being mass produced and probably not in a good way.
Yeah, that was definitely a big red flag for me. So started there. And another big thing that, you know, was a black mark against them for me was that they didn't even recycle in the store as, you know, from the store level. And I always think of this as the easiest thing a company can do, you know, to be sustainable and or the minimal that they can do.
A company their size, I mean, they're ginormous. So to not be recycling, you know, their boxes and all that tissue.
Oh my gosh, I know. The bags, the packing and shipping supplies, it all went to a landfill. And, you know, even the clothing that was damaged, if it was returned to them, you know, they send it back to home office, which ends up in probably the landfill too, because I know they're not, reusing those things. So overall, just a really, you know, eye-opening experience from a place that I thought was one of the good guys, you know, out of the big retailers. So definitely a hard experience for me.
So it kind of goes back to our theme, actually, of we really need to put our behind the companies that are doing things right. And this obviously is not a company doing things right. I mean, I haven't shopped there in forever. And what's interesting is that when I met in that store, I first met you, we were talking over the t-shirt table about, you know, I was asking you to show me, I believe, USA Made Clothing, which I think they only had one collection there, one tiny little t-shirt. We met there. And so I think it's kind of a lesson for all of us to learn that, you know, a company that claims to be something, you really have to do your homework to make sure that they truly are who they say they are.
Absolutely. And even that one conversation, you know, us talking about the very short list of USA made brands they had or sustainable brands in general, just, you know, kept my gears turning. Is this the right company mm-hmm. for me? Do I believe in this? You know, do I even want to work for them anymore? And I definitely right. wanted to find a company that is honest and doesn't harm the environment or exploit its employees in the process, because I love fashion and I love home decor. And I think that, you know, you can still enjoy these things while protecting our planet. And well, that's why right. I'm glad we met each other.
I know. And it kind of brought you to me, which is wonderful. And I mean, for me anyway, because you are so yeah. talented and you've always been a fashionista. You've always had a way of putting an outfit together and looking as if you just walked off the front of a magazine cover. Even when it comes to a basic t-shirt or something, I know that, you know, this past year, I know I've been living in all the pajamas, joggers, and tees and things like that, because I really haven't ventured out anywhere. But you have a way of taking our basics and just adding so much flair to them. So tell me, what's a person to do who wants to stay trendy and wants to stay up with that kind of thing, and yet you don't want to buy fast fashion, and you definitely don't want to buy denim that's, you know, being dyed, and those dyes are being dumped into the rivers and oceans across the other side of the world. So tell me, what do you do to keep your wardrobe kind of hip and up and with the trend?
Sure. This is a big question, because I know we talk all the time about other sustainable brands that end up being, we call them crunchy vanilla or you right. know, plain granola. And I definitely have still not lost my inner fashionista. So I crave those fun, unique pieces. So I still like that. I just go about it in a different way. So I do seek out the small companies that are sustainable for my basics, kind of like us, you know, the really beautiful intimates and classic t-shirts that you can really, you know, wear in different versatile ways. But
well, you can layer on them. I always call the classics kind of the basic food group of fashion, because you know, you
totally
you can add whatever you want to a black t-shirt. You know, you can layer it up. So okay, totally. so you seek those out, and then
you take those basics. I used to go, you know, antique shopping or to thrift stores, but when the pandemic hit, that definitely, you know, had a quick stop to that. So I started searching out different secondhand communities online, and I started to find, you know, there's tons of them. There's ThredUp, and I usually use Poshmark, which I know you're a little bit familiar with, because we've kind of recently started using them a little bit.
Well, we do, because, you know, history has told us and that a lot of these major fashion brands, which Majama's Earth isn't yet, but these big guys have a tendency in the past, they used to burn their excess inventory, so it wouldn't get in the hands of resellers or whatever, or devalue their brand. So they would just burn it, which is horrifying. And we don't have that much excess inventory, but when we do get some extras from a previous run that, you know, we're no longer doing, we put them up on Poshmark and we sell them as new, but for a little less. And it's actually a beautiful, sustainable way to offer your excess inventory, because you don't have to worry about, you know, it's going to get worn. It's not just going to a donation pile where people might just take it and then dump it later if it doesn't sell.
Absolutely. And I really do love it about that platform, because you can buy or sell as a brand or an individual. And, you know, I kind of use it as a search engine almost. You type in whatever brand name you're looking for, or any style that you're looking for. And, you know, it pulls everything up, from denim to shoes and home products that still are practically brand new or like worn, you know, once or twice, and some still have the tags on.
What a great idea, because for me, shopping in thrift stores physically was always a challenge. I'm not going to lie. I really wasn't a good thrifter, because I'd walk into those places and just be overwhelmed with the racks and racks and racks of stuff. And
sure,
I always admired my friends who could find like the designer stuff in there. But this kind of, if you do a search online in there, you know, under in Poshmark, you can up pops what you're looking for, which is kind of takes that stress of all those racks away for you.
Oh yeah. Their curated collections are awesome. And again, it just kind of helps us all collectively shift towards that circular economy. And,
great.
You know, products just keep getting used more than just a time or two before, you know, they reach their end.
Yeah. That's great.
Destination.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So another thing I've noticed that I think is a good way to put your money where you want to support, you know, the real deal is to shop locally. And mm-hmm. so I know that you like to look at local markets and places to shop locally, or to shop online. If we have to shop online, I know for me, I like to go to sites that have already vetted some of these brands out for us, like Done Good. So it kind of helps us avoid the big A word site, and we can actually shop, you know, another site and support a platform that is actually doing good for the world, and actually supporting the brands and the smaller companies that are doing their best to have a lower impact. So that's why I love Done Good. But you also turned me on to Tiny Yellow Bungalow.
Oh, yeah. Jessie is so sweet. She has her little online marketplace of, you know, low waste products with both the packaging and, you know, what the products are made of. And it's all essential items, you know,
that
you use every day. She's so great. So I always love supporting her and another brand or marketplace called Eco Roots for some of my beauty items and shaving products and things like that. And
I love it.
Oh my gosh, it is the best. And more recently on Instagram, I just discovered someone who is actually a Chicago neighbor of us. They are the Unwaste Shop, and they're literally right down the street from our old studio space.
So it sounds as if they pick up products, or they offer products that eliminate waste like packaging and plastics and things mm-hmm. like that. Cool.
Yeah, so totally along the lines of those other companies I mentioned. It's just kind of an extra perk for us now being in Chicago
great.
Because it's right there, and it eliminates all of that extra shipping and emissions, you know.
And I would bet that there are more unwaste type stores and retailers in other towns besides Chicago. I mean, we are a big city, but I bet there's a similar type of place in that people can find locally in their areas. And if there's not, then, you know, maybe you'd be the person that opens one, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can always look to, we are lucky in Chicago, but
we
even
are.
Some small farmers markets and craft fairs,
yeah.
you can find, that's kind of how I find some of these people, you know, and
right.
then I find their websites and their online communities. And right. it just, once you dig in, you can really find a lot. So it's
so great.
It's so great. Yes.
All right. And then for me, I know we're running out of time, but for me, price is a big indicator. So about 2 weeks ago, I walked into one of the retailers we sell into, and I found an imposter brand, I'd like to call it, that is offering similar styles to things we do for under our wholesale cost to this retailer. So basically for less than half of our retail cost that we're selling the same thing for. And I flipped out because you and I are clothing industry insiders. So we mm-hmm. know the cost of that fabric. Like, I know how much they're paying for that fabric to make that loungewear. I know what it costs to cut it and to sew it and to ship it and to tag it and to do all the stuff you need to do before it even hits the floor of that retailer. And yet somehow these guys are able to sell it for half or under my wholesale cost.
It just doesn't add up. Does it make sense?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It totally blows my mind. So I think that when something is priced too low, it's kind of a red flag. And then on the opposite end, when something is priced too high, it doesn't necessarily mean it's sustainable either.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I'm willing to spend a little bit more, you know, at these boutiques or craft shows where I can meet the vendors and learn about their product, or mm-hmm. online when I can learn about it. But mm-hmm. if you can't find that information about it and it's high priced, it's, you know, again, it doesn't add up. It's not
it's transparency. I think that's the key and the takeaway as we wrap this episode up. But I believe that transparency is the number one thing we all have to pay attention to with our dollars and where we put our money, because if a company's not being transparent, then they're hiding something on purpose. And so it's really important to do your homework, which is the bottom line for this. Well, Jane, thank you so much for sharing your insight. I'm so grateful to have you. And I just think that all of us with this Earth Day and with the theme to restore our Earth, we all need to start thinking about ways to make changes to help the planet, because a lot has to change if we want to pass a healthy planet onto our kids. And the only way that's going to happen is if we consciously think about what we're consuming and what we're bringing into our homes and putting on our bodies and all that stuff. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was really fun, and I can't wait to do more podcasts.
We're definitely going to do more, and I hope that all you listeners out there will follow us and stay tuned. We have a lot in store, and in the meantime, everyone, thank you for joining us. Let's all start to care what we wear and care what we eat and consume, and happy Earth Day.